Okay. My first question would be, we are here at the Wikimania Congress, and what do you think, what could the general public learn from the example of the Wikipedia project?
Wikipedia is the second example of the success of freedom in the development of useful, practical works. I believe that all works that are used for all works of authorship that are used for practical purposes in society should be free. Now, free, it's like, by saying free, I'm not talking about price. It's the same as the German word frei, not kostenlos. It means that people should be free to use the works, to change them, to redistribute them, and to publish or distribute their modified versions. Free software was the first success. I launched the free software movement with the goal of replacing freedom trampling proprietary software. And we developed a complete world of free software doing a wide range of jobs. It's perfectly possible to run a computer nowadays and never install any non-free software on it. You get rid of the non-free operating system, you put on a free system. So that was the first area of success. But there are other kinds of works of practical use besides software, and these include educational works and reference works. So encyclopedias also should be free. When I began suggesting in 1998 or 99 that there should be a free encyclopedia, I wrote it might take 20 years to develop one, but people shouldn't be disheartened. I never imagined that in just a few years it would be that the free encyclopedia Wikipedia would become the largest encyclopedia ever made. And by now, it's so much better than any competition that the others are laughable.
But for many people who live in a very, I don't know, capitalistic commercial world, this is like a wonder that you don't pay people, that you give them freedom, and then they make such great things as free software or Wikipedia. And I wanted to find out how this works.
Well, that's showing that they have adopted a simplistic and rather inadequate model of human nature. You see, any simple model of human nature is going to be wrong. Human nature is complex. Many emotions are possible. Many motivations are possible in the human mind. So a simplistic motivation a simplistic model of human nature, humans are motivated by profit, is absurd. I'm not denying that motivation exists, but they are denying all the others.
Okay. Can I go on? Just
yeah.
One more theme. That would be about licenses. The Wikipedia is using the GNU documentation license, and there is a little war. Some people say it doesn't fit really, and there's new free licenses, and other people say, GNU licenses are the only thing we can use for everything, what we, not only software, but everything else.
Well, let me respond. First of all, it's officially called the GNU Free Documentation License. It was designed, I designed it, I wrote it, to encourage the publication of free manuals, specifically free manuals that describe free software. And I wrote it with certain features to encourage commercial publishers to publish commercial manuals that are free. And there are some that do so, and one has used the GFDL. And they say that they think they make just as much money when they publish the manual free as they would if they made it proprietary. And their policy is they'll make the manual. If they decide they want to publish your manual and then you say you want it to be free, they'll make it free. I encourage other publishers to follow this example of O'Reilly in this case. And Wikipedia also uses the GFDL. But the GFDL is not the only license that's free. Any license that respects the four freedoms is a free license. Now, some licenses are inconvenient for things that are going to be published on paper. But Wikipedia is not published on paper anyway, generally, and probably no one ever will. So that may not matter. So there are a lot of licenses that would be legitimate for them to use. I'm glad that they're using the one I wrote, but I won't say that that's the only one that they could legitimately use.
So you also think there should be, for different purposes, we need a lot of different licenses?
Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. We don't need as many licenses as we have. But, of course, anybody who wants to make a work free could write another license if he wants to. It may be somewhat unfortunate to write yet another license, but it doesn't make, but, you know, if the work carries the four freedoms, then it's free and it's basically legitimate. It's basically ethical. I might advise a person, please don't write another license, but I won't say it's wrong.
But this is meant for software or for everything?
No, well, sorry, which is, I'm talking about anything. Although it's true, the number of free software licenses is much larger than the number of free licenses in other areas. And that's because free software came first and has the most different projects. So there have been more different developers that wanted their own licenses. But now, in general, the community tries to discourage people from writing more licenses just because there's probably an existing one that does more or less what you want.
And my last question would be a rather complicated one. Could you, your model, you said you don't like to divide different things by media, but by social use. Could you explain this model in short?
Well, I am proposing different changes in the laws for different kinds of works. But I'm doing this according to different uses of the work. And I've identified three broad categories of uses. One is practical use. You use the work to do a job. Software, recipes, which you use in order to cook, educational works, which you use to study, and reference works, which you use to look up particular information to learn. So these are works of practical use, and there might be others. There might be others that I haven't thought of that also qualify as practical use. But there are also works whose use is to inform the public of what certain parties thought. And these include essays of opinion. They include memoirs and autobiographies. They include travel writing, for instance. Although not travel guides, because those are reference works. But travel writing is in the second category. And they include offers to buy and sell. And they include scientific papers, which report what certain people saw when they did a particular thing, which we call an experiment. These works are a very different category because modifying them is misrepresenting the thoughts of those people. So there's no reason I see why it's important to permit publishing modified works, modified versions of those works. So I recommend a compromise copyright system where everyone is free to non-commercially redistribute exact copies. But anything else is covered by copyright as today. This is a compromise because it would still involve a system that restricts the users, but not in the worst ways. So the worst aspects of today's copyright system would be eliminated by this. But there'd still be a copyright system which would still have, which would still do more or less as well as today at providing an income to the authors. Of course, as well as today, in some cases, means not at all. For instance, the authors of scientific papers are not paid at all. And yet the publishers restrict the access to their papers, and this is a tremendous obstacle to science today. So we need to get rid of those publishers. We need to knock them out of their position of power, where today they act as parasites and obstruct the progress of science. It's interesting to note that this is a new phenomenon. A few decades ago, those same publishers were providing an essential function. They printed copies of scientific papers after arranging to review them. And this was the only way that scientific papers could be disseminated. But now it's an obsolete way. Now the efficient and best way to disseminate these scientific papers is on the internet. And these publishers, using the position that they hold as a result of the past ways of doing things, are now merely a parasite that's hard to dislodge. But we have to dislodge them. Then there's the third category of works, which are works of art and entertainment, where the social purpose of these works is the impact of the works, what it feels like to read the work. Now, for these works, I recommend likewise a compromise copyright system, where for a certain period of time, like 10 years, people are only permitted to distribute exact copies non-commercially. But then after that, they can start making modified versions, which is a way of contributing further to art.
Okay. So thank you for me. And maybe you have a lot of questions about free software. I didn't ask.
Let's go back. What was the reason when you started, or what was the reason for you to start the GNU project in the late 70s?
Well, I started the GNU project announcing it in 1983 and actually began work in 1984 in January. Now, in the 1970s, I participated in a community of programmers who shared software. It was our way of life. And that community died. And what I felt when that community died, you could perhaps understand if you imagine that you are a cook, you cook for yourself and your friends sometimes, and you use recipes. So you're accustomed to sharing recipes and changing recipes. And then imagine being told that you and everyone around you is told, from now on, if you change or copy a recipe, we will call you a pirate and put you in prison. And we will often make you sign a contract before you get a copy of a recipe, promising that you won't copy it for your friends and you won't change it. Imagine how bitterly angry you would feel. Well, that's how I felt at the prospect of using proprietary software for the rest of my life. And I decided, I refuse to live that way. I'm going to escape from this. Well, the obvious and most easy way to escape was to stop using computers. And I considered that. That would have been like fleeing when your country has been conquered by a tyrant. Well, it's better. It's please turn off your portable tracking and surveillance device. They already have tracked you here.
Sorry, I never get any phone.
They have already tracked you here, so they already have in their database that you're at this meeting. Yeah. So you don't need to keep it on for them now.
All right. So,
So that was an interruption at the worst possible dramatic moment. Now, I could have just stopped using computers, and that would have been like fleeing when your country is conquered by a tyrant. And it's often a better thing to flee than to remain under the tyrant's rule. But I wanted to do more than just flee. I wanted to fight against this invasion. I wanted to fight for freedom in my own field of software development. And my specific field of software was operating systems. So I realized that by developing a free operating system, I could reignite the torch of liberty in computer use.
Sorry, I don't know how to switch it off. It's new.
I take it not
okay. Well, its comment was either appropriate or sarcastic. I can't decide which.
That's my first thing.
Oh, I'm very sad to hear that. I am never going to have a mobile phone as long as they can be associated with me.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to carry a tracking device. I don't want my movements to be recorded in a database.
Mm. So what I need for my job now. So
well, I wouldn't take a job on those terms. I'm serious about this. It's our duty as citizens to reject this system of surveillance.
But you couldn't go online. So these days here in Germany or in the EU, of course, your IP is saved.
Well,
everyone can trace back.
Well, and usually I'm talking through some kind of private renumbering system, and they can't tell it anyway.
And it's not location-based like this. Like
yeah, and I only connect to the internet a little bit, and so mostly they can't track me.
Can we go back, because it was a very nice story.
Yeah, so I decided to develop a free software operating system, because you need an operating system to make the computer run. You can't, the computer won't do anything without an operating system. So if there's no free operating system, you can't take the first step even in using a computer without losing your freedom. So a free operating system was what we needed first, and that's what we use. That's what GNU is, except that most users don't know this. Most users of the GNU system don't know they're using the GNU system because they think it's Linux. Linux is actually one important program in the version of the system that they use. So that version is called GNU plus Linux. It's the GNU system with Linux acting as the kernel.
I mean the trusted computing platform.
Oh, you mean treacherous computing.
Yeah.
Treacherous computing is a plan to change the design of future computers so that they will not obey their owners anymore, so that they will obey companies. They want your computer to obey them instead of you. And this, of course, is evil. So I am hoping that there will be countries that refuse to adopt U.S.-style policies, modern U.S.-style policies, that is, and make it lawful to develop and use and distribute systems that fake out, that imitate and get around treacherous computing, and that this will make the system a failure.
May I just ask a quick short question here? What do you think practically? Will we all have two computers? One we can trust, one we can look Disney films?
No. I hope you will have only one computer, and it'll be one that doesn't support treacherous computing. But free software will probably run on the computers that do treacherous computing. It just won't be able to communicate using any of the DRM, digital restrictions management systems, that are implemented based on the treacherous computing feature of the machine. So you'll be able to run free software, and it won't be able to use the treacherous computing features. And the danger is that since this will mean it won't be able to do a lot of things, that many users might, who don't think of it in deeper terms and don't value their freedom, they might just go ahead and use non-free software so that they can use the treacherous computing feature and be able to play these various media under DRM. So that's why I think it's very important to start campaigns now against DRM media. We need people standing in front of record stores protesting corrupt discs and saying, don't buy them. And we need to create consumer back pressure against DRM, organized, visible consumer back pressure, condemning it, saying DRM is wrong, DRM is an attack on our freedom, we won't stand for it, get those corrupt discs out of the stores. The only CDs in our store should be compact discs, not corrupt discs.
And how can we reach this?
Well, you got to start. Produce a leaflet explaining the issue and telling people don't buy corrupt discs. Tell them how to recognize corrupt discs here. Maybe here they have to say it on the label. In some countries they do. Well, then it's easy to tell people how to recognize them. And explain why these are wrong, why they're an attack on people's freedom. Explain that the same record companies are mistreating the musicians, so they're lying when they say that they do this on behalf of the musicians. Say that that we should demand an end to corrupt discs. And the way to get that is don't buy them. And if somebody gives you one, take it back to the store before you open it.
Okay. What are you doing if you are not working for the GNU project and, your work maybe? How do you finance your living costs?
I couldn't even begin to understand the first question. Who is it about?
What are you doing if you're not working for the GNU project?
Who's you in this case?
You.
Oh, me. It's about me personally.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean when, not if. You mean what do I do other than work on the GNU project?
Okay.
Well, when I have a personal website called Stallman.org where I put up my political articles and my humorous writing and occasional other things and a lot of political notes where I talk about issues of human rights and the environment. And I also like to read and I like to listen to music. I don't do much playing of music anymore, but I used to do some. I used to play Balinese gamelan music, but I can't do it anymore because I travel most of the time. Now, I travel most of the time because I'm invited to give speeches. And that's also how I make a living. Some of the speeches I get paid for and some I don't. And since I live cheaply, that's enough. Living cheaply is very important. Many people get attached to certain luxuries and they feel they must have these luxuries. But you can train yourself not to feel you must have those luxuries. And of course, the most expensive and most damaging luxury is children. In an overpopulated world, having children is placing a big burden on the world. So it's much better not to have them. And in addition, it makes it much easier to make a living. You can work for pay much less, and then you can put a lot more of your time into things that really need doing.
But we weren't here if your mother or my mother said...
Well, so what? You know, it's basically that's a meaningless argument that doesn't prove anything. You know, any one of the... probably hundreds of millions of people who will be born this year, there's a certain small chance that that person will make a very important contribution to humanity. There's a certain small chance that that person will be a mass murderer like Bush. But mostly there'll just be a lot of people. And although I have nothing against any one of them, we'd be much better off if there were fewer of them being born.
Okay. Other topic. How do you feel about that your idea works? I mean, there are millions of people using GNU Linux, using free software, and the most common license for free software is the GPL, which you designed. Yeah, how are you feeling about that?
Well, of course, I'm glad to see some of my work having success, but what really needs to have the success is not any particular software or any particular license. What we really need to see have success is freedom. And one unfortunate thing about the way free software has succeeded is that the idea of freedom has often become lost. For instance, of the maybe 100 million users of the GNU plus Linux system, most of them think it's Linux. Now, that sort of annoys me since that's giving the credit to someone else, but the important part is the name Linux is not associated with principles of freedom and with fighting for freedom the way the name GNU is. And so when people make that mistake, freedom as a goal is forgotten. And then many of the people since 1998, many of them don't call it free software. Many of them call it open source. Now, the word open is a different kind of word from free. It doesn't relate to freedom at all. And the people who promote the term open source, they don't say this kind of software respects your freedom and the other software mistreats you and you shouldn't accept that. They don't raise this issue at all. They say that they're recommending a development model. And they recommend it on practical grounds. They say that it will usually result in better quality software. Well, maybe they're right. And if they're right, that's a nice bonus. If insisting on freedom brings you, as a bonus, better quality software, I won't reject that side benefit, but it is just a side benefit. I would rather use a program that respects my freedom and occasionally crashes or fails than a program that tramples my freedom and does its job perfectly. Because if the program occasionally crashes or fails, I'm free to fix that. But if the program tramples my freedom, there's nothing I can do to fix that. There's only one path. There's of these two different first steps, only one of them gives you a chance to arrive at the best possible goal, which is a program that respects your freedom and works right. And that is, you have to start with the free program and fix the bugs. That's doable. You can't start with a proprietary program and free it. That's essentially impossible. There's one particular developer who can veto that. And if he vetoes that, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, that's a short question.
Yeah, of course.
For practical or for rather unpractical reasons, because it's a long word, we usually call it now free and open source software. And it means it's two different things, but it's sort of one movement.
Well, actually, it's a way of referring to the two different philosophies without choosing a side between them. And that's perfectly legitimate to do. If somebody is having an event and it relates in some way to this software, and if he wants to talk about them both and not express a preference, I'll suggest, please call it FOSS or FLOSS. These are two different ways of mentioning both equally.
No, but what I wanted to ask, do you think that somehow there is a piece so far that you could say open source software also can help the world of free software?
Well, wait, sorry, mostly it's the same software. Free software is a criterion for freedoms for the user. Open source is a criterion for permissions for the user. Well, they're not identical. Some software is open source and not free. And maybe some software is free but not open source. But they're almost identical. So mostly it's the same software, but they're two different philosophies. So it's a sort of, it's a confusion to ask, do you think open source software is good for the public? Well, most of it's free software, and I think, of course, that's good for the public. But the question is about the real differences between these two movements, between these two philosophies. The open source philosophy has motivated many people to contribute to free software. So yes, it can contribute. But it's weak. It's missing the deeper part of the free software philosophy. So there's an important job which it doesn't do. We need to spread the free software philosophy to do that job. Because the open source philosophy encourages the idea that you judge software just by how well it runs. The same values that Microsoft encourages you to judge by. The only disagreement between them is about which software is going to satisfy those values better. But the free software movement says value your freedom. Don't just value today's convenience. Value your freedom and fight for it. And that's something that is essential, because if people don't fight for their freedom, they will lose it. Okay, this is the last one.
May a question here every time, when will hurt be ready? I mean, so
useless,
that...
I don't know. Depends how much you work on it.